Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Forged D20 podcast. I am your host and game master for Tales of Lodrienth, Zach Coldiron. Last time on Tales of Lodrienth, Lloyd and Moros have finally gone to the shores of the Isles of Aflar Eden, and upon their arrival, they have met a new comrade, played by Dalton, named Dalcom Goldshrike. The group had gotten acquainted with one another, discovering that Dalcom is indeed on the hunt for the Crimson Bull known as Chorus, who recently sunk down to the bottom of the abyss after a big combat between two monstrous demigods, one being Malik and the other an unnamed Cerulean serpent. And with that, they decided that they are each going to head to the city of Aflar, the upper city of Aflar Eden. Now they trek up the mountainside of the Aflarian Peak, the largest mountain in the realms. And now, let's dive into this next episode of Tales of Lodrienth. So we are going to... First, we're going to do the watch, and then I have something in my back pocket that's a little special for a certain character. I'm not going to say what character that is yet, but since, Dalcom, you are on first watch, why don't you go ahead and roll me a perception check?
All right. Perception's not that bad. 21.
21. Okay. All right. I'm going to tell you what you see. Well, rather, here, you don't necessarily see anything. The night passes, at least in this first 4 hours, passes by seemingly quiet, minus the sound of some sort of screeching off in the distance. You can't tell what kind of creature this is, but it sounds like a swarm of creatures are creeping up. They're not close, but they're like, you can tell they're wandering maybe a couple of miles up and away from you. It sounds like maybe creatures on the hunt, you're unsure.
Can I fly straight up and try to spot them?
You can try. So as you fly up, how high are you going to fly?
How high do I have to go to get a good lay within, be able to see within half a mile of me?
All right, hold on. I'm going to do some math here. All right. Hold on, let me do some math. Oh, Jesus Christ. I did not have numbers lock on. Okay. There you go. So, it is going to take you about 5-ish to 10-ish minutes to fly up to get a decent look. You can see going up this, like, trail. That's leading up on the mountainside. You can see at the end there's like a small opening of rock that leads up a set of stairs. You can see perched up on some trees are some sort of bird-like creature. These creatures, they have like antlers for horns, but they appear to be birds. It's quite an interesting combination that you haven't seen before. You can roll me a nature check to see maybe if you recognize these creatures.
13.
You have never seen such a creature before. Even though you are an avian yourself, these deer-like, maybe more moose-like horns, they're kind of like throwing you off to identify what kind of creature they are. But they're just perched up in the tree, minding their own business at this time.
All right. Seeing that they don't pose a threat, I'll lower myself back down, still keeping an eye on everything around me.
All right. As you land onto the ground, the rest of your watch passes by without anything eventful happening for the next 4 hours. However, during this time, Moros Omenborn, you're taking a nap. While you're resting, you get this vision, and you wake up. You're right where you fell asleep at, but it's daytime. You're facing the cavern that's right in front of you. And inside the cavern, you can see the silhouette of a creature. You're unsure what kind of creature it is, but it is on four legs. After you lock eyes intensely with it for a moment, it steps out, and you can see a giant elk now locking eyes with you. The giant elk looks at you with its piercing gaze and lets out a loud screech. And it sounds like that horn that you heard back on the main island of Lodrian. You see it begin to turn back into the cave as if it's scared of something. You can hear deathly screams behind you. Do you turn around?
Oh, yeah.
You turn around and you see piled onto the beach behind you thousands and thousands of corpses. Blood spattered all over the sand, even trickling into the water, turning it red. And as you turn, the first thing that catches your gaze besides these corpses are towering skyscraper blades covered in blood. And riding on top of Malik the Redwater is a crimson bull who stares right into your soul, and it shunts you awake.
Is there anything, is there, like, is there danger nearby, like, right now?
As you're shunted
Not
awake,
that Moros would know.
Roll me an insight check.
Okay. Because I'm going to have Moros waking up, like, pulling... Oh, does he even have his sword? He sleeps near his sword. He fucking... Moros shunts awake, and then grabs his sword and immediately is standing up looking for a fight. He thinks something's happening, something's near him. And then I'll roll, like, a perception or an insight, whichever you prefer.
Do an insight.
Insight? Yeah. 11.
You hear the beckoning call of some sort of bird-like creature, similar to what Dalcom heard. Can you roll me a nature check, please, with advantage?
Fifteen.
You couldn't recognize the sounds of this creature. You definitely can. This creature has a very kind of raspy kind of screech to it. And most birds, their rasp doesn't reach levels like this. This is the screech of a periton. It is a... I'm going to show you. Moros may have ran into some on his adventures. Maybe ran away from them, but this is what they look like. But you recognize the screech of one of these creatures. And they are not good news. They like to eat humanoids.
Is Lloyd asleep or is he awake?
I don't know. Lloyd, are you asleep or awake?
Did I hear anything?
Roll me a perception check with disadvantage.
Why doesn't this shit work anymore?
Ten and...
It works for me.
Eight. So an eight. Nah, you sound asleep, man. Shit's hitting different.
If you just right-click, that should work as well. If your shift isn't working, or control, whatever it was.
Ah.
I think the shift was from something else. I think it was from the roll 20 thing. But, all right. By the way, Dalgum's still awake. He's just staring at you. Hasn't said anything.
What was the name of the creatures?
Periton.
Periton's near here now. Lloyd! And then Moros goes over to Lloyd and starts shaking him the fuck awake.
Oh, the birds seem... They seem friendly.
Periton's. Periton's.
Periton.
They're a danger. Get ready. We need to move.
I would ask for 5 more minutes. Yeah, I'm not dying today.
Neither am I.
Oh, yeah.
Either we fight these things or we go in the cave. They're on to us already.
Oh, yes. The birds are perched. The birds are perched.
What? Where?
The birds are perched. That's where the birds are perched.
It's about maybe 3/4 of a mile up high. He had to fly up pretty high to get there, so.
Well, they know we're here.
Yes, I flew up and looked at them.
They didn't attack you?
No. Maybe they didn't know me.
These are innate. Moros would know this, I would assume. Are these innately hostile creatures? We're in their territory. If we go any further into this forest, we're going to get attacked?
Absolutely.
Okay. These creatures are incredibly territorial. The fact that you didn't get attacked flying in their territory, let alone walking, means they might be docile now. But I'm not walking through that forest. Well, we could. I just don't want to get my eyes pecked out.
Tunnels are bad.
Tunnels are bad.
Tunnels are bad. Tunnels. Eden members. He looks at Lloyd. Points to the back of his head. Word.
The web.
Web. Thank you.
Oh, they're down there.
Tunnels. Easy to move in tunnels.
They come in and out of the tunnels. So, choices then. Do we go into the tunnels and hope that it leads somewhere, or do we just go deal with these parasites?
I don't know the way in the tunnels. I'm sorry. I don't go in the tunnels. The webs don't like me.
Very well.
Do you want to wear the wig?
No. I've tried it on before. It. My head shape don't like.
Let's prepare ourselves, because these paratons are going to be a bit of a problem.
Birds, right? Birds.
Yes, like you, Dalcom.
Fine. I can deal with birds. How many birds did I see?
You saw about 7.
7? Okay.
Can I take before we start heading that way and go piss off the Paritons, or before they head this way, because I don't know how much time we have, I was gonna kind of maybe. Never mind. I'll save it for another time. I don't have the way to verbalize what I'm trying to do. I was gonna try to craft something very quickly, but I'm not gonna have the time. So let's just go do this thing then.
All right, you guys are gonna disembark up the mountain. Cool.
I guess so.
After a couple of hours of navigating through the beach and finding a way deeper into the forest, you begin to travel up an incline that seemingly gets steeper and steeper and steeper as you get up. This is a steep mountain you're starting to realize. Can I have everybody roll me an athletics or acrobatics check, please?
Oh, what the fuck, Moros?
All right, Moros.
20.
You are going to receive a point of exhaustion as this is getting steep and you are wearing some heavy shit on your back. It is a fucking hike up this mountain.
Gods.
After a couple more hours, you finally reach closer to where Dalcom was flying up. However, you don't see any Peritons over here anymore, Dalcom.
Bird's gone. Birds have moved.
Just checking one thing real quick. Da 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 da. Okay. Okay. Uh huh. Just doing some number crunching here, boys. Don't mind me.
One plus one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, cool. This will be easy. Okay. If you have a 14 passive perception, you can see slightly obscured in the trees are the Peritons who are kind of watching you all.
I do have a passive perception of 14.
Yep. Nice.
I also have a passive perception of 14.
You can see they are perched up and watching you guys and waiting for you. I'll give you a round to prepare anything that you would like to prepare. But you will not get a round of surprise. So you can prepare a spell or anything that you want, but you will not get like a attack off.
Dalcom will be casting Crusader's Mantle.
Oh. I do not think this is a spell. Ignore the roll. In any of my games before.
So send it to game Crusader's log. Mantle is very nice. Send the game log. Until the spell ends, the aura moves with me, centered on me. While in the aura, each non-hostile creature, including me, deals an extra 1d4 radiant damage when it hits with a weapon attack. It's centered on myself and a 30-foot radius. So,
I will add that to your token.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep. So, as long as you were within 30 feet of me, you deal 1d4 radiant damage when you hit with a weapon attack.
Why don't you describe what, like, the color of the holy power and what it looks like?
So, Dalcom grabs his hammer, and nothing seems to happen from our perspective. The Peritons would see, like, a faint, shimmering, silvery blue outline on the hands of me, Lloyd, and Moros.
Ooh, nice.
Like, it's obvious to the people who are outside it, but you don't particularly notice it when it has been done when you are receiving it.
Okay. Anybody else want to prepare anything?
No. I don't have anything I can do, really.
Yeah, there ain't much I can do either. Just more so just hold my sword at the ready and that's it.
All right. So let's go ahead and roll initiative. They're not going to get a round of surprise off you guys either, since their stealth roll was 14. They went as a group, just for the ease of not rolling six fucking seven. Yes, roll initiative. and then we will get some fighting started. Seven, a 19, and we need Mr. Lloyd.
For the initiative?
Yes, sir.
Damn.
All right, one of the Paratons is going to go first. It is going to immediately... Oh, this is kind of cool. It is going to immediately dart out of the tree, and it absolutely flies faster than anything that you guys have seen before. And it immediately, in just one go, goes from near the top of this path here, and boom, is right in front of Dalcom. Now, it had a dash, so it cannot take any additional actions at this time. But that is all. For the next one, it is going to do the same thing. It is going to fly straight out of the tree and right in front of Lloyd, and that's going to be its turn. Dalcom, you see immediately darting in front of you is this Periton, and it is right in front of your face right now. What do you do?
Sorry, I zoned out for a second.
You're good.
My turn.
Yep.
Cool. There is one in front of me, right?
Yes, there's actually two in front of you.
Cool. Are they within 5 feet of me?
One of them is, the other is about 6 feet from you.
All right, cool. I'm going to position myself where I'm within 5 feet of both of them.
Okay.
And I'm going to smack this one with my maul. Ooh, that's a natural one. First roll, baby.
It sees you trying to strike with its your maul, and it flaps its wings to push itself backwards to cause your attack to miss.
All right. Hold on, because I think I have other things to do. Yes, I can. Bonus action, I'm going to attack it again.
Yep, one of your war priest features.
Okay, hold on, before you say anything, just to secure it, I'm going to use a divine power to give a plus 10 on that, so it's a 27 guaranteed hit.
Yes, that does hit.
Alright. Alright, here's the damage, 2d6 plus 4, so 9. Hold on, because then I have something else. Because I hit it with an attack that deals bludgeoning damage, I'm going to push it back 5 feet.
Okay.
Oh, and I have to roll my Crusader damage. So this 10 damage total that turn.
Just to confirm, non-magical damage?
The first one is, the second is radiant damage.
Yep, and that's going to deal just regular damage. Okay.
So, yep.
Cool. As you hit it with your maul, boom, right in the head, and boom, pushes it back. And it tries to flap its wings to recollect itself. Is there anything else you want to do on your turn? I think you have movement still.
Nope. That is everything I want to do.
Alrighty. Up next is one of the Paritons who's just going to... does he have a ranged attack? Let's see. I don't really want to move. No, he's just going to stand perched there and watch and hold his action. This one over here is also going to hold its action, just kind of watching to see what you guys are capable of. Moros, it is your turn.
All right. Give me 1 second. I have to refresh my page.
You're absolutely fine, man.
All right. So I'm going to... Is this one right in front of us, or is it up in the air?
It's about 5 feet floating in the air.
All right. I'm just going to move up a little bit. Right about there. And I'm just going to reach out with my greatsword and smack it twice. Two greatsword attacks. Here's the first one. 24?
Yeah, absolutely. That fucking hits.
19?
19 also hits.
11 damage. and 10 damage. 21 damage.
Non-magical, correct?
Non-magical. Yep.
Alright. As you take two swings with your greatsword into the flesh of this Periton, it lets out a thrashing screech at you. Is there anything else you want to do on your turn?
No, I'm good.
Alright. Up next... Ah, yes, the one that's close. Ah, and it can finally use the feature I've been wanting to use. It is going to use its dive attack feature. If the Periton is flying and dives at least 30 feet towards a target and then hits it with a melee weapon attack, it's going to deal additional damage. It is going to do its multi-attack. It is going to do its gore and its talons attack. So it is going to dive right onto Moros Omenborn. Be about 5 feet in the air now. We change the elevation. And we'll start the gore attack. A 15 misses. It is now going to use a talon attack after it tries to gore you. All right, let's take a look here. Oh, yeah. 19 hits. So it is going to deal 8 points of piercing damage, and you are going to take 10 additional damage. So you're going to take a total of 18 points of damage.
Okay.
That is its turn. Lloyd, it is your turn, sir.
We... I want to take a swing at this guy.
All right.
I'm definitely going to charge myself up a bit. I'm going to... Oh my god. There's a 20 hit thing.
Absolutely. As you take your longsword to give it a swipe, definitely hits. Roll me some damage.
Cool. I am going to Psionic Strike as well.
All right. And then your and this is psychic damage, right?
This is... It's force. Force.
All right, so 9 points of force damage.
It's force, yeah.
Cool. All right, I do think you have some more attacks you can use. Are you going to use them? Cool.
Hold on. Remember, everyone, you have a D4 of damage from my aura.
Yes, use that D4.
So if you didn't roll that, roll that.
I think Hunter hit on an attack.
One.
He hit on two.
Let's roll 2D4.
And then I'm going to make my second attack.
5.
Okay. Lloyd rolled a 1 on his. All right, go ahead and roll your second attack. Oh, that's unfortunate. That unfortunately misses as it kind of does the same thing its predecessor did, but instead of directly back dodging, it takes its wings, pushes it to the left side to give it a push to the right. So that it evades your attack. Anything right. else?
I think that is...
Alright, cool beans. This one's just going to move over and perch up on this tree here. Move down just a bit. That'll be its turn. Now we're back to the top of the turn order. The one that Dalcom just hit, it's going to now... go up about 30 feet in the air and then dive down onto Dalcom. It is going to use its dive attack feature. It is going to first gore you. A 19.
Doesn't hit.
Ooh, big old 20 AC, baby. And the second talon attack misses as it starts to dive down towards you and you see it coming. And you kind of just step to the side to avoid the attack. That is going to be that Periton's turn. The next one here, it's going to fly straight up into the air, about 30 feet. Now, you're probably wondering, do I get an attack of opportunity? The answer is no. It has a flyby feature where it doesn't provoke an opportunity attack if it flies out of an enemy's reach, and it is going to dive right onto Lloyd. So it's going to first gore Lloyd. A 14 just hits. You're going to take a total of 10 points of piercing damage and an additional 9 points of piercing damage as well. So a total of 19. That is its turn. It is Dalkin's
Jesus
turn now.
Christ.
Don't worry. Be happy. All right. Give me a second. Do I have compelled duel? I don't remember if I do or not. No? Okay. Well, keep it simple. I'm going to swing on this one right here to start.
All right. You take your maul back and you go...
18
swing
to hit.
Swing on that bitch. Absolutely hits, my friend. Roll me the damage.
All right. So the first one is this plus another D4. So that's 16 points of damage. 4 of that is, radiant. And then second attack will be against the other one to my left.
Okay.
Oh, wrong one. Hold on. That's not the right attack.
Yep, not the right attack.
That is a 19 to hit.
Yes, that does. Roll me your damage.
2d6 plus 4. 4, so 8. Plus another 4. D4. Plus another 4. 12 damage on that one. 8 of it is bludgeoning. 4 is radiant.
All right. As you describe to me how you kill the first one, and then you can describe how your second attack hits the other Parryton.
All right. As it comes in, it dive bombs Lloyd on the kind of like comeback from it slashing Lloyd. He's going to take the hammer and smash it into the back of the Parryton and crush it in the ground. And then on the upswing from down low, he's going to turn and with one hand use the momentum to swing it back right into the chest of the Parryton and knock it 5 feet back.
Oh, hell yeah.
So that is my turn.
All right. How far? How far? Too far. This one's going to fly over to this perched edge here, just kind of watching you guys still. These ones up high, they're not focused on attacking quite yet. Oh yeah. Immediately you see diving towards you, Dalkum, is one of this Parryton from the far. It can just move 60 feet to get within range of you. It is going to use its dive attack and gore and talons against you. The first attack is a 23.
23 hits.
You are going to take 10 points of piercing damage with an additional 5 points of piercing damage, so a total of 15 on that first attack.
Alright.
Alright. And then a 21 hits. Now, the dive attack only applies to the first attack, so it doesn't apply to this following attack, so you will only take 8 points of piercing damage here, and that is that Parryton's turn.
You said 8 points?
Correct. You guys kind of see these Parrytons, they're kind of perching, like watching curiously how you guys are going to respond to everything, which is kind of weird. They're not all really working together. Morris Omenborn, it is your turn, sir. What do you do?
So, Morris is going to raise his greatsword up to the skies like he's Lion-O, raising... I can't remember what his sword's name is, but I know He-Man's got a cool sword. So either one, raise the sword up to the sky, and then like a beam of light comes down upon him, and then he points the great sword over at the two Parrytons that are about 15 feet across from him that are grouped up, and he's going to place it right on top of the both of them.
Oh, you're talking about the ones perched up here?
No. Which the ones that are next to my winged fellow.
Ah, I see. Right here.
Yes, I want to hit both of them. They have to do a constitution saving throw. And I didn't mean to roll that, by the way.
Nope, you're fine. So con save. All right. Give me 1 second. I'll roll it for them. What's the spell save DC?
13.
One fails, one succeeds.
Alright, I'm going to roll the damage. 12. So one takes 6, one takes 12.
Radiant damage, correct?
Yes.
Alright. Why don't you describe the moonbeam as you raise into the air? What like color is it and stuff?
The color is of a sort of shimmering silver light that actually reflects down from the moon above, piercing through the cloud line. You can actually see some of the clouds get dissipated as the beam of light kind of shoots through them down upon the two Peritons.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Anything else on your turn, sir?
I can move.
Yeah, you can.
But I'm not going to move and invoke an opportunity attack, so I'm just going to chill right here. So I can move the moonbeam on my following turn, though. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're totally fine. And you are absolutely right. It is going to be the Peritin who's actually right next to you's turn, and he's going to fly up, dive back down. These things are so fast that you're not even able to take an attack of opportunity. You try to take a swipe at him, and nope, it's too damn fast. Let's roll an attack, a 23. You'll take 5 points of piercing damage, plus an additional 12 points of piercing damage. Then he's going to try to strike with his talons after that. And he rolled an 11, which misses. That is going to be his turn. It is now Lloyd's turn.
So what is that circle around those two?
That is Moonbeam.
Moonbeam, right? That hits allies too, right?
Yes, it does. I believe so.
All right, I want to move there. I'll kick this thing out of the way.
It's dead.
And then I'll move right here to attack this creature.
All right. You take the Peritin that just took a dive at Moros. Go ahead and roll me your first longsword attack.
Dude, come on.
Damn.
I'll go for the second.
All right. Sounds Gucci. And 11. Mm. Unfortunately misses.
Wow. I'll action surge because that pissed me off.
A valid reason to action surge, man.
Bro, what the fuck is happening right now?
Oh my god.
You rolled a 10.
The worst.
You get
change
one more.
Dice, change your dice.
Nope, that's cool.
Oh! Okay. Yeah! Alright, go ahead and roll me your damage. Natural 20. As you just swing 3 times, missing every time.
D4.
You get angry, and this fucking, you full force fucking, ah! And fucking just finally pierce the flesh of this bastard.
How do you roll your crits again?
We'll just do the double damage dice, the 2d10.
Oh, then I'll, 2D10. Oh, then I'll add this as well.
Your psionic strike? Fucking... Oh, yeah.
So then roll. So if you're doing double the dice, then roll the d4 again.
Yes, you will also roll the d4 again.
Oh, and the d8.
Yep.
Yep. Double the dice, baby. Like a crit, big deal. Big money. Big value. This crit almost fucking kills this creature as it is covered in its own blood. You're covered in its blood. You in a fit of fucking anger. Take one large attack, and man, you almost fucking kill it in one go.
I don't know. He's
got more rolls. He wasn't done.
Oh, what? Oh,
he's got giant
shit!
I'm gonna all channel right. my giant's blood, and I'm going to go in giant as well.
Oh my god, that's just what you needed.
3, and then so another d10. It's like 50 something damage in a single turn. Or single hit. Nice.
Yeah, well over. Jeez. Describe to me how this last attack looks and how this creature dies, man.
Oh man, I swung my sword, I missed. You know, I'm getting a little frustrated, a little. Swing again, I got a visible vein on my forehead, you can't see because the mask is still on. I go in for a third strike. And what happens? I miss again.
Fired and I miss.
I'm over it at this
point. Fired and I miss.
This little fucking thing has avoided three of my attacks. I decided to pour everything in. Most of it for this last. It was kind of reckless. It wasn't uniform. But I swung with all my might. And I struck this fucking bird right above its wing, like in its neck area, channeling my psionic, channeling synthetic giant's blood in my vein. And I burst this thing fucking open in fiery explosion as my sword reaches slice towards his chest. Boom. Feathers. Blood. Bones. Gut. Everywhere.
Beautiful. Absolutely stunning. Is that your turn?
I'll move once again. Thing off to the side, like right here. I'm not gonna get into the moonbeam.
Alright. Noted. Alright. Well, let's ramp this bitch up. The ones that are watching are no longer gonna be watching. They've seen two of their comrades die, and they're not gonna let them all die. So immediately, this one here comes rushing in towards you, Lloyd. It has to dash to get to you, so it can't really do anything. One of the ones in the moonbeam, so let me ask this about moonbeam. Moros, does at the start of its turn, does it have to make the saving throw again?
Let me look. Or starts a turn there. It is engulfed and makes a constitution saving throw. So when it starts its turn, it's going to take damage.
It rolled a 9. That is a fail, so go ahead and roll me the moonbeam damage.
10 of radiant damage. 9 radiant damage.
Jesus Christ. You see this thing completely, as this moonlight begins to burst down on it, it screeches and its skin burns and it just fucking falls dead right in front of you. That is its turn. Dalcom Goldstrike, sir. Or Goldshrike. It is your
Goldshrike,
turn.
Goldshrike, yes. Dalcom is going to turn, make a fist, point it up at the one that's 30 feet up in the air. And he's going to, like, cock it like a shotgun and fire off a guiding bolt at the one in, at this one right here.
Oh, shit. Okay, go ahead and roll me your guiding bolt and describe to us what your guiding bolt looks like since the first time you've cast it.
Alright, hold on. Give me 1 second to decide. Am I doing it? Yeah, let's do it at second level. It's the same color as his feather and the rest of his magic. It's that silvery blue, but it comes out as, like, a beam of light, kind of almost Iron Man repulsors-esque. God damn it, a 2.
As it...
Or a fucking 9, Jesus Christ.
It flaps its wings up and your guiding bolt goes just right past it.
Who will? Hold on, let me look at my bonus action, see what I'll let me do. Yeah. Hold on. Is that... Okay, I need to look at something.
Absolutely, take your time.
Range spell attack. Okay. Question for you, DM.
Yes,
This is a wording situation. Now, this says when you take the attack action, you can make one attack as a bonus action. The Guiding Bolt specifically says it is a ranged spell attack. Do I get my bonus action?
One moment,
it says
please.
When you use the attack action.
Yeah, I mean, it says attack. I can't say no.
Guiding Bolt is listed under an attack.
I can't say no. It says the word attack there, so no. Okay, I mean, cool. Yes. Sorry.
All right. Cool. I can make one weapon attack as a bonus action.
Cool.
I drop them all by my side real quick and pull out my crossbow and shoot it. It's a fucking natural one.
Everything is
fucking failing on that. He pulls out the crossbow, puts it into the fucking moonbeam, and it dissolves.
That's even better than what I was going to say. I love that. Oh, Dalton, is that your turn?
My crossbow. That's my turn.
All right. Moros, descending from its perch on top of the cliffside here is a Parryton who is going to do a diving attack on you, sir.
Okay.
It is going to gore you. It misses. And then it is going to try, because it missed, to swipe up like an uppercut towards you with its talons. So 20 hits. So you're going to take 9 points plus 8 points. So 17 points of piercing damage. That is its turn. This one is starting its turn in the moonbeam. And it's going to try to get the fuck out. A 10 fails. Roll me some moonbeam damage, Moros. Holy shit. All right. As you hear, it let out a loud screech and its feathers begin to singe as it escapes the moonbeam and is going to get around the other side of Dalcom and is going to not do a diving. Actually, it's diving from the sky, so technically it could do a diving attack. It was 30 feet up in the air. So, it is going to do a diving attack on Dalcom. First with the gore. A 15 misses. Next with a downward strike with the talons, which also misses. You're able to, let's say the first one just completely misses. The second one you see coming and you take your crossbow and you deflect its talons and it just causes sparks to fly everywhere. The next one, who is perched up here, is going to also fly down to Moros. And is going to do a diving attack on Moros Omenborn. First with the gore. A 18.
Mm-hmm. My hands.
You're going to take 7 plus 15. That's, 22 points of fucking damage. Piercing damage.
Okay.
That is just the first attack. It is time for its talon attack.
I'm going to use my reaction.
Ooh, what are you going to use your reaction to do?
My ionic barrier. My protective field.
What does that do?
On Hunter. When you or another creature you can see within 30 feet of you takes damage, you can use your reaction to expend one psionic die and damage taken by 1d8 plus.
Okay, go ahead and roll the d8. And what is plus what?
Plus 3.
You said 3? Sorry, it's cutting out for you at the end.
1d8 plus 3.
Okay, cool. So 15 plus 7 is 22. Oh!
11 minus 11.
So 11 damage. You only take 11 damage instead, Moros.
All right. How about a nice 30, halfway?
All right, it is going to use its talent attack, though. A 23?
Yep.
And you're going to take 8 points of piercing damage. And that is its turn. Moros Omenborn, it is your turn.
Okay. I need to roll a constitution save for my spell, right?
Yes, the concentration check. Indeed. You have to roll it twice. DC 10 for both times. Save.
All right, I'm going to use...
To be fair, I also have to do that, so...
I'm gonna do a
constitution save.
Can you? Oh, here we go. I'm gonna place it right here, so I hit all three of them fuckers.
You're good. Do you also hit yourself in the process?
I don't give a fuck if I do or not.
We'll but, say it does. So make me a constitution.
Let me
save.
See if it does.
Yeah, if it doesn't say, we're gonna assume it does.
Creatures.
It'll either say hostile
yep,
or
animal. It hits me. It just says one a creature. So yeah, it hits me. I don't care. That's fine. I'm gonna move the instead of pointing the greatsword in that area, I just raise it back up to the center towards the sky, and then plant it straight down into the ground.
on my location to hit me and all three of them. So then all of them, all three of the Parrysons, going to make a Constitution saving throw, and so do I.
Two successes, one failure from the Parrytons.
All right, let me roll my Constitution save. I fail. Ooh. 2d10. 12 points of damage. So one takes 6, the other two take the full 12, including myself.
Roll me a Constitution check, please. Gotta beat a 10, or Moonbeam drops. Your Moonbeam is still up, sir.
And then for my... let me see, bonus actions.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm trying to find my damn bonus actions. There we go. As a bonus action, I will then grab my my amulet, the Harness of Divine Power, so I regain a spell slot. I regain that level 2 spell slot from casting it.
Nice.
That is the end of Moros Omenborn's turn.
Sorry. Holy. Alright. Rush.
Whose turn is it?
After that, it is Lloyd's turn.
Oh, okay, Lloyd.
Alright.
Oh, let me change the elevation. They're all like within 5 feet, I guess. There you go.
Well, I'm gonna go behind this. Is there enough space for you right there?
Yeah, that other one is 50 feet up in the air, so you're fine.
Oh, this one's 50 feet in the air?
No, this one is 50 feet in the air.
Okay. Well, I'm going to attack this one.
Cool beans. Go ahead and roll me an attack.
First, I'm going to use my bonus action to second wind.
Nice. Roll me to second wind. You regain 3 hit points.
I regain 8.
Oh, plus 5.
And now I will strike. Because we are flanking, do I get the...
Yeah, you'll get advantage here.
Oh. Wrong thing.
19 hits.
Cool.
Nice.
And the D4.
Nice.
And this time I'm going to use Form Strike. So it's 1d6, but he has to make a Constitution saving throw DC 14, or he has disadvantage on attack.
Natural 1. Okay. 3 points of what damage?
That is lightning damage.
Nice.
So that one has disadvantage attack.
Disadvantage on its attacks? Gotcha.
Advantage on the tackles until the start of next. Oh, that's it. All right, and I will go for my. I did one attack, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Ooh. And I'm going to move right here and I'm going to attack the blue one. That one.
You entered into the moonbeam, my friend. You sure you want to do that? Yes. Your token is touching the aura.
And the moonbeam covers all those squares.
There you go.
Try to hit this one with the tip of my sword.
The tip?
Absolutely.
Alright, hit it with the tip, man. See what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hit it with the tip. Let's see if you penetrate. Indeed, you do penetrate. Why don't you describe the death of this Peritune?
Oh, okay. So, take a slash at this one, channeling my energy. My giant hands once again. And then I quickly shift to my side and slash at this this one that's being flanked. Slicing it in the back region, kind of. And sever fine.
Alright.
That is how that one dies, and I am going to move back into place.
Alright, is that your turn, sir?
That is my turn.
Alright, well, this one's now going to dive straight onto you, the one that is 50 feet in the air. It's going to dive down on you. It's going to use its gore and then its talon attack. A 22.
Yes.
You're going to take 11 points of piercing damage, plus... Holy shit. I'm going to send this just so you can see it.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Oh, hold on. That's just the dive. 11 plus 15 is 26 points of piercing damage.
I'm going to use my protective field.
All right. Go ahead and roll your D8 plus 3. We're at 26. So 26 minus 8 is 18. So you only take 18 points of piercing damage. Then it is going to do its talon attack. A 20 hits, and you're going to take 9 points of piercing damage. Or slashing damage, I'm sorry. And that is its turn. Now we're back to Dalcom Goldstrike.
Are any of them still pretty high up in the sky, or are they all low now?
No, they're all low now.
Okay. I'm going to step here, so I'm in between these two. And I'm going to swing on the one that's in the moonbeam.
Alrighty.
It's my maul. It's roll high. That's high. So 21 on the first one?
Yes, absolutely hits.
So 11 plus a d4... so that is 11 regular, or 11 bludgeoning, 3 radiant, and then the second is going to be on the one next to Lloyd. Actually, that one die?
Yes, it did.
How hurt is Moros? A 10? Cool. Bonus action instead, I'm going to use a... second level. Now we'll go third level. Healing ward on Moros for 13 HP.
Thank.
He needs it.
Yep.
All right. Is that your turn, Dalcom?
That is my turn.
All right. It is one of the Periton's turns. It is the start of its turn. It is going to need to make a con save. It rolled a 12. That is a failure. Can you roll me some moonbeam damage, sir?
Moonbeam.
Forgive me.
You're good. Eight points of damage, and it is going to... do its dive attack on you. One sec. Alright. First, it's going to gore you. An 11 misses. Second attack. You got lucky. It's Moros, it's your turn. As the attacks of the Peritune, it tries to gore into you and tries to uppercut, but it gores right off your armor, so it pounces right off. And then it tries to slash at you with its talons, and you use your gauntlets to deflect the talons off. So what do you do after that?
I'll roll my con save real quick because of the damage from my thingy. Alright, I pass the save, but I still take damage. I take 5 points of damage.
Roll me a concentration check.
And then another con save. Finally fail it, so it dissipates. And then I'm going to then take the greatsword, and I'm going to take 2 big ol' swings at that little fucker.
Alrighty, go ahead and roll me your first attack.
25.
Hits.
9.
No. Oof. Hits.
Add the D4. Well, then on the first one...
Oh, that, oh. Was your, that was your attack. I thought that was your damage.
On the first one that I hit with, I'm going to use a Divine Smite.
I was wondering when you were going to use Divine Smite, Heike.
So, 11. And then Divine Smite damage, 2 additional D8. Wow, double 1. Sick.
Don't forget that D4.
Oh, and a D4. Big 4.
So needed six. That one. All right. Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
All right, Lloyd, it is your turn, sir.
All right. Well, this one that is on me right now. You know what? I'm going to grapple this thing.
Interesting. Okay.
And as part of this action, I'm going to pull out my immovable rod.
It rolled a 16.
Let's see. Fuck you. I rolled a 16.
Who has the higher con or modifier? You win. Nope, you have a 6. You have a plus 6 years.
Oh, yeah. That's athletics, that's right.
Technically, it's a tie. They're both plus 3. Their modifier's the same.
Proficiency still... No. It's
proficiency
plus 6
matters here?
Proficiency matters for athletics.
Nah, fuck it. I don't care.
Because he has a plus 6, that just rolled a plus 3. Because it's not proficient in athletics.
All right, so what are you going to do with the immovable rod?
I'm going to hold it against its neck, push down, and press the button.
My mouth just dropped on the floor. I'm not even playing.
He's got pinned against him with the fucking...
It's like screeching. It can't move. It's got to fucking succeed on a DC 30 strength check to get out of it, which, by the way, it cannot do.
Yeah, no, it's...
It is immovable, you could say.
I like the image in my head of Lloyd, like, hugging it from behind... And having it, like, holding on to the movable rod against its neck with its back pressed against his stomach.
All right, so that's your main
and
action.
That's how he's holding it.
Maybe I should use that against you.
Okay, no. That's not...
Pause.
Not on the podcast, Raph.
All right. Save anyways, that for later. Bonus action?
Totally not what I was gonna
save do. That for later, Raph. Gosh.
You're not a good gay guy.
No, I'm not. I'm too straight.
Alright, well, since grappling is technically an attack action, I'm gonna use my extra attack to my sword at it. I'm just kind of gripping the blade and then just slamming the tip into its
body. With advantage. Just so you know. With advantage. Yeah, that hits. Absolutely. A 17. And that is... Okay. You deal some big damage. Where do you cut this thing at?
Oh, in its belly, man.
You just see some of its entrails beginning to pour out, and it's screeching. You can see now the fright is kicking in this creature. It is trying to get away. It is now terrified of you and the fact that you have used an immovable rod against it.
I kind of like that.
Is that your turn?
It takes 15 feet of movement to get away from it, or to stand up.
Yes, because it's technically prone, right?
Yeah, it's half your movement, yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to move away from it. I don't know if advantage or if I can get an opportunity.
Yeah, you're still within 5 feet of it, so you wouldn't get an opportunity. It wouldn't get one against you. Still within 5 feet.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, and you're within reach of the other one, too.
I am?
Yeah, it's 4.7 feet. I have the Euclidean ruler on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You actually found it?
Yeah. I did. Now tell me. Are you going to take a swipe at this guy?
I already used my extra attack.
Oh, that's right. So it's no longer its turn. It is going to... The one that's... that you have an immovable rod against it. Can it still make an attack against you, like a disadvantage?
What are the rules on being restrained?
Let's take a look, because you're right, it's considered restrained. Speed becomes zero, attack rolls against the creature have advantage, and any attacks it makes are a disadvantage, so yes. Yeah, that doesn't hit. And that doesn't hit either. We're just going to go back up to Dalcom Goldstrike. Or Goldstrike. Jesus Christ.
Dalcom's going to walk over to this one. He's going to stand at its head, pick up the hammer, and light Gallagher.
Alright, go ahead and roll me an attack.
Crush it like a watermelon. That's a 23.
Abso-fucking-frutely.
That's 15 points of damage plus a D4 radiant. 1 radiant damage.
Describe to me the death of this Periton.
Hey, you remember how Grimace died?
Fuck you.
The exact same way. He walks around.
I'm sorry, little one.
Picks up the hammer, brings it above his head, and Gallagher style brings it down, and blood splatters everywhere.
Jesus Christ, not Grimace. Rip. Anywho.
He's then going to... Let's see, how far away is this? 10. He's going to fly on over, and then smash this one with his bonus attack.
Alrighty.
That's a 22.
Absolutely fucking lootly hits.
16 damage. Plus a D4. 2 radiant damage.
Tell me how you kill this one. And that's going to do the combat.
I'm going to, after I kill the other one, I fly over. And as I'm flying, drive-by baseball swing straight into the sternum of it and just send it flying off.
As you send it flying off, you have all killed all of the Peritons. You all are, well, mostly all of you are kind of gravely injured after this fight. But with that being said, that's where we're going to end tonight's session.
Before we end, you want to do one thing? Nope. Kind of, but not really. Dalcom's going to walk over to the one that Lloyd gutted. He's going to dip his hand inside it, come out with the blood. And chanting, he's going to walk over to Lloyd, draw with some of the blood on Lloyd's face, walk over to Moros, and do the same, and then he's going to drop down to his knees and begin to pray, and he's going to cast Prayer of Healing, so he's going to chant and pray for 10 minutes using the blood of his enemies, as his god is a god of war.
That's sick.
Using the blood of his enemies to heal his friends.
Taking the vitality here and look over to Moros. We should have taken the tunnel.
Yeah.
15 points of healing to everyone.
Yeah, I do think we should have took the fucking tunnel. you know, now we're just sitting here. We're just sitting here watching him do this weird brain dance thing, whatever he's doing over there. Although I will say, I do feel a little better.
And you watch as the blood glow on, that I drew on you glows a bright silverish blue.
How right. much health did I get again? 14?
14 points of healing.
Thank you. Thank you, King.
Alright, boys. That being said,
we can continue on our journey now. We'll be there by the morning.
That you will. And that will be it for tonight's session. If you guys want to loot the bodies, we can do that off stream. But I want to thank everyone for listening. Thank you for tuning in. And take it easy. That's it for this week's episode of Tales of Lodrienth. We want to give a special shout out to our patrons, Melanie Droz, Melanie Cochialone, and Anakin Gross. We also would like to thank our artists, Art of Morningstar and Draco Meister. You can find them on Facebook and Instagram. Also, I want to give a special shout out to you, the listener, who has decided to take the time to listen to our goofiness, this story that we've put together so far. And as we enter a new age of Tales of Lodrienth, we just want to thank you for sticking by our side and for your loyalty to the Forge. Until next time, take it easy.